And welcome to Field Notes, a podcast from Red Wings Horse Sanctuary. Each week in Field Notes, we will borrow an expert from our teams here at Red Wings to explore a horse care issue which we've raised in Sounds of the Sanctuary. We hope these conversations will be interesting and inspiring to anyone who cares for equines or is perhaps thinking of owning a horse for the first time. In this week's Sounds of the Sanctuary podcast, our Sanctuary Star feature focused on 33-year-old pony Ruby from Red Wings Ada Cole. And farm manager Holly told us all about how they care for their favourite resident grandma. So, in this week's Field Notes, I chat again to Nikki Jarvis and she shares her experience of looking after ROAPs here at Red Wings. And we talk about how you can give your older horses and ponies the best care and ensure that they continue to thrive as they get older. So, for this episode of Field Notes, I'm back with Nikki Jarvis, our Head of Veterinary and Care, and we are talking about one of her specialist subjects, and that is caring for golden oldies. So, how we can look after our horses as they get older, signs we can look out for, and making sure that the older horses in our lives get all the care and attention they deserve. So I wonder, Nikki, to start off with, obviously, you know, in the horsey world, for example, like in showing a veteran start to age 15, what age at Red Wings do we class as sort of being an old horse?
That is such an excellent question, Ju, because 15 to many people will seem very young, actually, particularly for certain breeds. We all know many smaller ponies, say Welsh ponies, and goodness me, they're still, you know, dancing around at the age of 25.
Yeah, I mean, we've got Willow here, haven't we? Who's in her 40s.
Right. In her 40s, yes. And I think in the veterinary research anyway, because a lot of research is done comparing changes in the older horse versus a younger adult horse. And the reason 15 was chosen in the veterinary world was actually as a result of demographic studies. And so often in any large population, be it, you know, in the human research world, it's based on demographics. So they look at the large population, they look at the percentage of particular age groups within that population, and a certain percentage of which a human or a horse or a dog isn't living beyond, then helps you set that age at which you consider that individual old. So it's resulting from population studies. What will be quite interesting is a lot of those studies were done a little while ago, and I think it's fair to say that when it comes to care and management of the older horse, the good news is we're getting better and better at it. And it might be super interesting at some stage if we sit down and look at the population again, because it might even be that the age at which a horse is deemed old actually is slowly creeping up, because there is so much specialist knowledge now, particularly about nutrition, about looking after how to feed for poor teeth, various medications for various conditions. So there's so much, isn't there? So much. And I think people value their older horses. They really value them. If you found the perfect horse, either as a family pony or perhaps as a riding horse, people are still competing with them later in life, because you know, if you found that perfect horse, why would you do it?
Going, definitely.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but so here at Red Wings, is 15 old here, or
so again, if we're looking at the veterinary research, obviously when it comes to evidence-based medicine, we technically consider our horses older at 15, but yes, we all know in reality there are so many of our fabulous, in particular ponies, I find almost seems like the smaller they are, that they seem to have this excellent lifespan. Also, I tend to find that it also depends on what what's happened in their younger years. So perhaps it might be that a particular horse has had a lot of wear and tear on the joints at a younger age, and therefore they've got more problems, maybe with osteoarthritis later in life, and that could become life-limiting for them. So it does depend on both their breeding, on the size of the horse, and what level of nutritional care and preventative veterinary care they have received during their lifetime. Yeah.
What signs should we be keeping an eye out for as our horses get older?
Actually, that's an excellent question, because it, because something I feel hugely passionate about is there are so many signs associated with aging in the horse that in actual fact are a horse trying to tell us there is something wrong and there might be a lot you can do about it.
Yes.
And I'd like to hope that's quite a positive statement because, you know, so many of the issues faced by the older horse, there's wear and tear. For example, perfect example is their teeth.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as horses age, obviously they've their teeth basically drop down gently and are worn away at the surface. I'm referring to the molars here, because when a horse is young, they have really long roots on their teeth, and over the course of the years, they grind away on all of that tough sort of hay, and the teeth sort of slowly drop down, so they get less and less what we call reserve crown, less and less roots there, till ultimately those teeth, they become very smooth, they lose their enamel ridges, they start to become a little bit wobbly, gaps form between them that can become very sore and painful. So failing dentition is actually one of the commonest things faced by the older horse.
Yeah.
But the good news is there's so much you can do about it. So regular dental care is the key. So in a younger horse, you would expect to have your dental examination and treatment annually.
Mm-hmm.
But once a horse starts to age, you may find that actual facts, your qualified dental technician or your veterinary surgeon recommends that they are done anything up to every 6 months.
Yeah.
And that way they can keep on top of it. But the beauty of having this regular check on the teeth, you're going to spot at what stage that horse is going to start to struggle with various feeds, and more importantly, work out how to feed that horse.
Yes.
Because failing dentition is accounts for so many clinical signs that, again, we think of in an older horse. So you might have weight loss. You might see them quid, which is when they ball up food and it drops out the side of the mouth. And then usually the field mates are very helpful and run along and go, oh, have some pre-chewed food, lovely, and help themselves. So that makes it really hard to spot quidding in a group, because the friends help out.
They help out. Yes.
And whilst I'm sorry to talk about toiletries here, another thing that you'll commonly see when the dentition starts to fail a little bit is a horse will pass out normal droppings, so they're very normal and they're not sloppy or anything, completely normal droppings, but they're followed by like a little light gravy. Followed by a little jus.
Yeah.
That very often owners will notice it on the hind legs or just in the tail hair. And that often implies that there's more sort of water being pulled through. And if they look at the droppings, often the fibre particle size is longer than it used to be, because horses aren't able to chew as effectively. And there's so much you can do about that, because the important thing is to provide the horse with fibre, whether or not it's long fibre in a hay net, or you need to give them a little bit of help by using a high fibre, you know, pellet. You know, there's so many ways you can support that horse, and it's a game changer, because you can very often easily improve weight loss. You can stop this watery feces or improve it. And don't forget how painful it is when, you know, you get a little bit of food trapped, little bit of gingivitis, little bit of periodontal disease, maybe you've got sensitive teeth. That's incredibly painful.
Absolutely.
And yet our horses in the winter are drinking out of ice cold tanks of, do you know what I mean, for their water.
Absolutely.
So that's another reason why this preventative dental care is just good. It would just mean the world to your horse and be a game changer.
Yeah. Yeah. And like you say, you might, once upon a time, people might have just said, oh, the horse has lost weight because it's old.
Yeah.
When actually, they're losing weight isn't, it's not a side effect of age.
No.
It's a side effect of...
They're trying to tell you there's something wrong. Yeah. So, they're trying to tell you. Yeah.
And like you say, and to put a positive spin on that, you can't do anything about age. Your horses are going to age.
Yeah. Trust me, I've tried.
But something like this, like you say, with managing dentition, with being able to help...
And giving appropriate feed for the remaining teeth the horse has.
Yeah.
I mean, I actually know several people and who have a horse with, you know, barely a molar left, but they are on a high fibre mash feed fed regularly throughout the day, and they maintain fabulous condition, but they still get to pot around on a field with their companions and they've got they're able to nibble on the grass.
Absolutely.
Another reason why it's so cool to have this regular assessment, if a horse gets to such an advanced stage that they really can't manage long fibre at all, they're at much higher risk of impaction, colics and choke. So knowing when they're starting to progress towards that point is really important.
I mean, listeners might have heard in Red Wing supporters, when we talk to our supporters, we occasionally mention our no long fiber groups.
Yes,
they are exactly that, aren't they? They are horses that potentially through age or other issues with their teeth, we have put onto these fiber mashes and things like that because they can't manage the fiber anymore,
and they thrive.
And they thrive. The OAPs we mentioned here with their 3 or 4 dinners, you know, they think they're quids in because they get lots of regular little meals that, that keeps them going.
I liked your subtle joke. You think they're quids in.
I wish I could say I did that on purpose. I'm not that quids in. That was entirely an accident.
And we've also got our pre-no long fibre group, and that's the ones in the middle ground.
Mm-hmm.
So they've got full access to their hays. We try to, wherever we can, choose softer hays. So they've got full access to their hays because their teeth are fine in terms of they're not likely to get these impaction colics or chokes, but they need the extra support from the pelleted fibre or the mashes just to maintain their weight.
Yeah.
So they need that extra support, but they're still perfectly happy wandering around, you know, dropping some for their field mates. We can cater for every level.
That's
great.
No, that's really interesting. So we've touched on teeth and sort of the nutrition that goes along with supporting their teeth. What other signs are there that we can look out for with our golden oldies?
Well, a lot of people will mention things like the horse seems a little bit sort of stiff first thing in the morning, particularly horses that come into a stable overnight. And I know a lot of people will care for their horses by stabling overnight, particularly in sort of livery yard environments. Yeah. So they may notice first thing in the morning the horse is a little bit stiffer, or it may be that a horse that's been brilliantly behaved for years with the farriers all of a sudden isn't quite right when they're trying to trim the hind legs.
Mm-hmm.
And that can often be early signs of osteoarthritis.
Mm-hmm.
There are particular joints in the horse that are more commonly affected than others, and I think most people are aware that the hock in particular can be a site for osteoarthritis, and also the pastern with ring bone. And you can imagine, as a horse gets older, if those joints are stiff, perhaps when the farrier comes and the farrier is lifting up a leg so it's flexed, you know, quite tightly for a period of time.
Yeah.
Also, the leg that's suddenly having to take all of the weight because he's weight bearing on the other leg. So again, if you're noticing a behavioural change in your horse, I think that's a really key indicator that the horse is trying to tell you something. You know, so if you've had a horse that's always been there for you and really lovely behaviour, and you're noticing a change, it could be reflecting pain, and that's something to be really aware of. You can get weight loss with osteoarthritis as well.
Mm-hmm.
If the horse can't ambulate around the field as well as the others, or perhaps your field is on a 1 in 10 incline, you may notice the horse has got little cuts on the hocks, which might indicate that if he does have a lie down, he's struggling to get up. Also, If yours is looking super tired in the morning, it might be because he's too scared to lie down. So it might be because he knows his legs hurt and he might not get up that easily. Yeah. And your farrier, you know, chat to them. If you're starting to see squared off toes behind, it probably means they're dragging them a little bit. Mm-hmm. Or perhaps you've got uneven muscular chest. So there's lots of early signs of osteoarthritis way before you would get swollen joints and what I would call overt lameness.
Yeah.
So you can look out for those. Yeah.
And is that the sort of thing that if you spot these earlier signs and you can start treating and managing them at that point, presumably that's going to help your horse rather than waiting for the more, obvious signs.
Yeah, absolutely. Because one of the things with osteoarthritis is very often a horse... We look at that horse and historically I would have done it myself and I just sort of said, oh, he's a bit slow. Well, he's quite an old chap, you know, he's 22 or 23 now, you know, he's going to be a bit slow. And very often when they start some form of treatment, you may notice a big difference. Mm-hmm. So very worthwhile if you're starting to notice these early signs, have a chat to your vet and just see what are the options. Now, an older horse, very often, it's going to be more than one joint affected, but there are still really good treatment options out there. Oral anti-inflammatories, or it might be a particular joint, so there might be options for medications. Yeah. There's all sort of options out there. Or it might be so early that some form of just very gentle in-hand walking will just help support the muscles, perhaps changing so the horse isn't stapled overnight as frequently when the weather's good.
Yeah.
Sometimes I have to go back to obesity, another favourite subject of mine, make sure the horse isn't overweight and being expected to carry rounds more than it should. Yeah. So, but again, seek help on that one.
Absolutely.
because there's plenty you can do to support them.
Any more signs, anything else that is sort of particularly common that might present itself in a horse as they get older?
Well, the big one that a lot of people will know about, of course, is Cushing's disease. We often refer to it now, it's newer name of PPID, and it refers to a part of the pituitary gland that is involved in the process. And you will actually see very subtle signs of this. It doesn't just appear overnight.
Yeah.
And it'll be things like normally your horse starts to shed its winter coat. Maybe it starts to shed in April normally. And then the next year it's a few weeks later. And the next year it's a few weeks later until finally maybe the coat doesn't shed at all. And you get this longer coat. But often it's very subtle. You'll get these longer guard hairs along the side of the jaw or down the back of the elbows. You may notice a little bit of muscle wastage, or your horse, it becomes a little bit more pot-bellied. Very often they tend to have this hooded eye appearance. Mm-hmm. You may notice the horse drinking a lot more and urinating a lot more. So if you're starting to find the stable's a lot wetter than it normally is, or the fact that your water buckets are practically empty when you come in, there are all these early signs that you can look for. And obviously associated with that is laminitis, because it may be the horse also has a problem with regulating its insulin. So there, and again, there are easy methods of diagnosis, easy methods of treatment. And I think it is a really important one, because also not only does it very often cause muscle wastage, but it can affect their immune system. So it can make them much more vulnerable to things like skin infections, eye infections, respiratory disease. Yeah. So again, if you can do something to support them.
Yeah, definitely. And for each of those, you'd want to involve a conversation with your vet and go down that road. But are there any, sort of in your experience of looking after the oldies here, are there any sort of things that you would prioritise with managing an older horse? Are there any things that you think are really top to making sure that they, you know, can have a quality of life as they get older?
Yeah, definitely. Because I think simple things like older horses, as we said earlier, they are very, very, very valued. And I don't think it's a case of people go, well, that horse is old, so I'm not going to look after its nutrition as well. That that never happens. That horse is still going to get looked after in terms of nutrition. But for me personally, during the winter, if they're on hay only, just to bear in mind that the older horse, those muscles, they're going to need a bit more support. So you don't want to go lacking on the protein unless your vet has diagnosed a condition whereby it can't have. You don't want to go lacking on the protein. So do bear in mind a balancer. That's, you know, really important, because very often the older horse might not be on various specialist feeds unless it's got a dental issue. So it might be maintained on purely a hay. So again, something like a balancer that's got lovely levels of protein in the lysines and that sort of thing. Be really respectful of the fact that it will be quite vulnerable to things like infections, so regular cleaning of the eyes. If it's been diagnosed with PPID, got this longer coat, you can do lovely trace clips so it's cool in the summer. Regular shampoos, because the coat can get really sweaty. And then you can also do lots of support, like very gentle exercise. Try to choose, if you can, we're not always blessed with choice, but if you can, the flatter paddocks, the least poached paddocks. Always make sure there's somewhere dry for it to have a lie down. Because if they can lie down, they're going to want to lie down. And if that horse is still being exercised, always increase your warm up and your cool down times, because us old folk, we need a lot more, do you know what I mean, to get things working. I can vouch for that at the gym. So, and that's incredibly important to help prevent them being stiff the next day. So there's so much you can do, and read the horse's signals and any of those signs. Don't accept them as a sign of aging, because chances are you can do something really positive.
And I think that's a nice positive, you know, message to take from this. Is that, like you say, age is inevitable, but these things these things don't have to be, because there's so many ways that we can help them, support them for as long as possible. I think, obviously, you know, we've just said that's a nice positive, and I'm going to now bring things down a little bit, talking about, unfortunately, our horses will age to the point that we then need to monitor them really closely to check that they have still got a quality of life and they are still able to do everything that they need to be able to do to be a happy, healthy horse. How do we deal with that sort of judgment here at Red Wings?
So I think making a decision on euthanasia of any animal is the hardest thing an owner will ever have to do. Literally the hardest thing. There will be no worse decision. Here at Red Wings, we don't make decisions alone. So generally, for example, our veterinary team, we will always chat to more than one person, because it's really important that you constantly reassess that horse's quality of life. I think it's incredibly hard. If you see a horse every single day, it's very hard to notice subtle changes. And very often we cling to hope. We say the thing, well, it's still eating. Now, unfortunately, you can have a collapsed horse that is still eating, but that doesn't make it right, because it's normal for a horse. What a horse wants to be able to do is walk around. They want to be able to feel fit enough and well enough to get down on the ground and have a jolly good roll, kick their legs in the air. Because, you know, they love it to get their shedding coat off and everything else. They want to be able to have a decent night's sleep, and the following morning not be the sleepiest one on the field because they were too scared to lie down. So it's about involving other people. It's almost like when you're too close, it's too much.
Too hard.
So I would say always involve other people. Gather opinions. The professionals that work with you, say your veterinary surgeons, your farriers, they will all probably know your horse quite well. So seek advice. You want a horse's quality of life to be considered over a 24-hour period at least, not just the snapshot that you see during the day. We've got to remember that when we're tucked up in bed and it's minus 10 outside, that horse is outside and, you know, its arthritis is there constantly. You've got to bear all of these sorts of things in mind. So get supportive people around you. Also, a friend that doesn't see the horse very often, that's really nice. And obviously, if it did come that you made the decision, you will want that friend with you. But then I think more importantly, try if you can. A lot of the time we're trying to assess quality of life for euthanasia. It's amazing how often we didn't actually make that assessment when the horse was younger.
Yes.
And that makes it harder to see what the difference was. So I think it's really important that we get to, we just stand at a fence and watch our horses. And as they age, watch them more.
Yeah.
Because if you stand at a fence and watch your horse, you will notice the things like the quidding, which will then provoke getting a visit to get that mended. You will notice if that horse is not playing and interacting. You will notice if it's lying down, is it struggling to get up?
Yeah.
But you kind of have to be there to see it. So time well spent is just time standing watching your horse. And if you can start almost like assessing its behaviour, its happiness, its movement, way before you need to do it for the final time, that's also time well spent.
Yeah, that's very, because like I say, we always tend to frame these conversations about how do you know when it's time, but you don't frame that conversation before knowing it's time to know what you're comparing it to, do you?
Yeah.
So that's a really, really interesting way of putting it, and something I think that any horse owner can have that in the back of their mind, because like you say, we go and see our horses twice a day, and we're such a small window of that 24 hours that if you can see them at different times of day and see what's normal for them at those different times, you've then got things to compare to, and that peace of mind that you know what they should be doing to compare to.
And I think it for myself, historically, when I've had to have, you know, a very old dog put to sleep, it's my dog and I'm a fully qualified vet.
Mm-hmm.
I still ask a friend.
Yeah.
Because I need someone to tell me that I'm not wrong.
Yes.
And you need that support, and it's vital.
Yeah.
And have a plan as well. It sounds awful. If you make a plan for how you would want it to happen and how it's going to happen, and who would you contact and how would you cope? Because sadly, with any species, we don't always get the opportunity to pre-plan the event. Sometimes it's taken out of our hands.
Yes.
So I just recommend anyone, what's your plan?
Yeah.
If you went out there tomorrow morning, who would you call? What would you do? And make your plan.
Yeah. Well, Nikki, that's been such a valuable insight into, you know, taking things out of your brain and sharing them with everybody, because
it's your,
like you said at the beginning, it's one of your sort of specialist subjects and something I know you're really passionate about. So thank you. I love
old horses.
Yes.
The older I get, the more I love them.
And that brings us to the end of another episode of Field Notes. I hope you enjoyed that conversation with Nikki. Every time I'm lucky enough to sit down with her, I come away feeling like I've learnt loads, and I hope that you feel like that too. We'll be back next week with more insight from our lovely Red Wings experts. Until then, bye!